Hello, everyone. This is Coach Fab, your host today for Casinos USA Podcast. And we're coming to you from rather frigid Western Pennsylvania on this January 23rd afternoon. And we're all the way up to episode 80. And we're asking a question. Are YouTube craps videos fake? Are they? Let's talk about it. But if craps is not your thing, don't fret about it, because Janie's in the podcast and she'll be talking about some recent success she had in slot play at the Meadows south of the Pittsburgh airport. I wanted her to start the podcast, but she insists on going last. So I just put in a little snippet, but she'll be back later in the podcast.
So I was walking around looking for the old poker, video poker machines that
we'll also hear from Aaron of Craps Journey all the way down under in Australia. And he solved a case for us. We wanted to know about Dr. Wong. Where do you hear this story if you missed the last podcast? Oh, my. Thanks, Aaron, for your good work.
Awesome.
And we hope it is. If you have ever gone to YouTube and typed in 321 craps, you saw an organization called Color Up, headed by Jeremy Ellerick, present our Passline betting system for low rollers, 321 craps. And of course, we often start our crap segments with 321 craps. And if you did that, then you probably got hit with a lot of other kinds of videos. Videos by people who set dice, videos by people who have a variety of strategies they want to present, and videos by people who guarantee certain results. You know, win thousands of dollars daily, $10,000 a day. Oh, my goodness. Too good to be true? Well, not according to the videos. I've often wondered about the law and the internet. You know, I mean, if you advertise things in newspapers, magazines, television, radio ads that guaranteed success the way some of these craps videos do, you ended up in court. And I don't know if our laws just haven't caught up with that social media or not. But goodness gracious, there's things on the internet, you know, a cure for AIDS, all right? 1995. Come on. It's just crazy. Now, some of the videos, even though I don't embrace them, I found them interesting. A lot of them have sort of like homemade tables and half tables, etc. That just helps them to do a rather decent job with the video shot. We're not a videographer ourselves, so I can imagine the challenges of doing it, and also with the volume. But the one I've watched the most is the Bone Thrower. And, you know, he talks about dice sets, and he'll often say, show you the dice and make a suggestion about where they should land on the table. But a thing that I get a kick out of his videos is, and he goes on to throw them, and the dice are going all over the place, you know? But I'm going to talk about some things that he said that I really liked, and they seem to be a change, because he sort of stopped talking about that, you know, thousands of dollars a day playing craps, and he's now talking about what he called the SOR, the 7-out ratio. So mathematically, and I draw this from the Wizard of Odds, and we'll talk about him shortly as well. The number 7 should occur mathematically about every 7 rolls. You know, I've even said 8 rolls. But the SOR for the Bone Thrower, when he's throwing certain sets, is 10 rolls. And he makes a suggestion, and it's a suggestion that I think we beat him to, because we've been saying it for years. You're wise, if you play craps quite often, to turn your bets down or to regress your bets. Let's just say, for example, I'm going to play what I call the Fremont Street Grind, you know, and most people call the Iron Cross. And that's the bet, the 5, the 6, the 8, and then the field. Of course, you'd have to place bet the 5, 6, and 8. And as a player, you can bet the field yourself
without bothering a dealer.
So what if I did this? What if I put, that's, by the way, that's every number but the seven, that combination of place betting the five, the six, the eight, and the field. What if I put $30 on the five, $30 on the six, $30 on the eight, and $10 on the field? So I have a sure winner there. You know? And how many times would I do that? Well, when I do that, and I do, it's usually for one roll, and then I'll regress, you know, back to a $5 five, a $12 six, a $12 eight, right? And $5 in the field. So sometimes I'll even just stop betting. I'll say, take my 5, 6, 8 off, or I'll say, make my five $10 and my six and eight $12, and I stop betting the field. But remember, I throw $100 out there, put it at risk with 30, 30, 30, 10. But I enjoy, you know, collecting money. And will I go more than one roll? Yeah, sometimes I will. If I'm up, I will go more than one roll. But I've noticed that the bone thrower and many others like him never throw an early seven. Just never throw an early seven. Abruptly, a seven comes up, right, in our lives. And there's nothing like a party deflator than it's your turn to the dice, and you set the dice, take care of them carefully. Whoa, and you throw an eight, and that's the established point on your come-out roll. And then you say, oh, my goodness, I'm going to get – I got a good number. Let's get a, like a 15, 20 rolls here, okay? And so you make your place bets, make your prop bets, some of you, hard ways, and – then you throw again, and it's a seven on your first throw after the come out. How come that never happens on YouTube craps videos, huh? How come it never happens in the large, large majority of them? Are you suspicious about that? I am. This is the only way that I would consider a craps video legit when sevens just don't appear until 20, 25 rolls, which is really an aberration, believe me. I would say, come on and do it live. You want to talk about dice setting? Come on and do it live. And, you know, to make a point about dice setting mathematically, how many rolls are you going to say where you're influencing the dice? You know, mathematically, to even make a case, you need 5,000 rolls. You know, you can have 60 rolls that are just aberrational. You know what I mean? They're not following the dice, the way the dice should roll based on the number of ways to make a 2, a 3, a 4, a 5, a 6, an 8, a 9, 10, an 11, and a 12. You know, they each have a certain number of ways you can make them. There's more ways to make a 7 than any other number. And a 7 should come up every 7, okay, say 8 rolls. But when they don't, video after video, let me ask you something. Are these edited? Are they stopped? I want to know. Well, you know what? You can make the case with me. Come on live. Do it live. You know, Jeremy Ellerick from Color Up did a live play of one of our hybrid craps betting systems called Deal or No Deal. And people won money. I was so excited. You can't fake it. It was live. People were commenting as it was going on. And if you watch Jeremy Ellerick and Color Up, his channel on YouTube, how many times does he throw a seven after the first come out roll? Often. He doesn't hide anything. He's just showing a strategy and saying, you know, the dice didn't work this way today. The dice didn't work the right way to make the strategy work. You know, he doesn't hide the fact that a lot of the strategies lose money, you know, in a 20-minute set that he, or a 25-minute set that he shows. That's honesty. The same is true with the Wizard of Odds. You know, he throws sevens, and he says it. That's what happens. That's what happens. So I'm not saying not to watch these craps videos on YouTube. You might find them entertaining, and every once in a while you pick something up. I picked up some dice sets from the Bone Thrower that I really like, and I like his SOR, he calls it, the seven-out ratio. I like that, and, you know, I think I use that term now myself, but, you know, you got to count the throws, and, you know, if you're behind or you're being careful and you're not aggressively betting, then you regress or you go off on your place bets. Protect yourself. That's what we're talking about. But when you go on YouTube and you have a YouTube dice throwing channel and you throw and throw and throw and every episode you publish, come on. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. How about you? That's my opinion. That's just my opinion. How about you? Do you believe it? I don't believe it. And, you know, why would I make thousands every day if I was that good, if I was so certain about the way I threw dice and my betting strategy? I'd make $20,000 every day in a casino. And let me ask you another question. How about the dealers around the country? If they encounter someone, wouldn't they imitate what they do? Wouldn't you have a lot of dealers suddenly become millionaires? Well, you don't. You don't. They see it all. They see it all. But only on YouTube do people throw 40 throws every day, every episode, every publication, you know, before they throw a 7. Come on. Come on. P.T. Barnum said it best. There's a sucker born every minute. And I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it. Something to talk about. Something to think about. How about you? So watch the Bone Thrower and all the rest, because there's a lot of good things that you'll see there. But personally, I want to see it live before I completely embrace the things that they're saying. I want to see it live. All right. And remember, mathematically, to make a case for dice influence, talk about 5,000 rolls and how many times you avoided a 7, you know? Not even 40, 60, 80, 500, 5,000. Then we can sit down and talk about you have some magical touch. Okay, and I could be wrong. These are just my opinions. Hey, little island music, and we'll be right back. Okay, well, here's our surprise for the day. Yeah. Do some of you carry cash when you travel, when you fly? And if you're coming from a casino, there's chances are that you're taking cash or you're coming home with cash. Is there any kind of law about flying on airplanes and cash? Well, just be alerted to this. This came out of the Tribune Review, which is a Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania area newspaper. This is a lawsuit that was filed on January 16, 2020. A retiree's daughter, who lives out of state, visited her father in the Pittsburgh area. He was a 79, well, he is a 79-year-old retired railroad engineer. And he gave his daughter $82,000 to put in a bank, but he gave it to her the night before she was flying out of state back home to her home. And so she decided just to take the cash and then open a bank account there and then maybe wire money to her father's checking. Something like that. She was managing his $82,000 because he was just getting a little bit, you know, confused as he aged. Well, anyway, she decided to check and see if you could take that much money on an airplane, and she found something on the internet that said you could. But that's not the way it worked out for her. And again, this happened. I'm not making this up. Okay. All right. Oh, come on. She went through the security at the Pittsburgh airport. All right. And they found her satchel is actually occurred last August, and it was a TSA agent working at a security checkpoint questioned her about this cash. The cash was in a small zippered bag inside a satchel. Now, I can't see any circumstances where I would travel with $82,000. So that the agent at the security checkpoint called the supervisor, and they talked to her, and she explained it was her father's money, and she was in charge of it, and so on. So she walked to the gate area. They left her alone and said, go ahead, then. You're dismissed. And she sat down to get some work done, she says, while she was waiting for her flight to arrive. And while she was there, she was approached by a state trooper and a DEA agent who asked her about the money and had her call her father. And these are her words. They woke him up at 7 a.m. This is a 79-year-old man who is who has cognitive issues. He was confused. So the agent said our stories didn't match, and they were seizing the cash. And I said, this is ridiculous, but I was scared. They didn't charge me with anything, and I've never been in trouble. Okay, well, they took the cash. All right. And then she receives later, a DEA sent her a notice called a civil forfeiture notice informing her that they intended to keep the cash. And they cited a broad catch-all about seizing anything related to controlled substances. What? Hers had nothing to do with controlled substances. And the writer of the article said, in reviewing, the factual information, the writer of the Pittsburgh article says, flying with any amount of cash is completely legal, but the TSA and the DEA have a policy that if you hit a certain threshold, it's suspicious. And the DEA thinks $5,000 cash is suspicious, and the TSA is $10,000. So understand that if you fly with more than $5,000 in cash, you might end up having to get a lawyer to fight the government to get your money back. That's incredible, but I had to share it with you. There's just no explanation for this, her attorney said. None. And her family, her father, is seeking the return of the $82,000. And when I find out how this lawsuit came out, I will definitely let you know. But check it out yourself. Pittsburgh Tribune came out January 16th. Title is Family Seeks Return of $82,000. And the writer is Deb Erdley, E-R-D-L-E-Y. So this is a legit story. Happened at the Pittsburgh airport. Somebody carrying cash, $82,000. It was seized and taken by the government. And the government said in a formal notice, they're not giving it back. It's tied to drugs with no evidence whatsoever, according to the attorney. But next, we do have a case that has been solved. And we had talked about it in a previous podcast about the Dr. Wong from Singapore who refused to pay a casino bill in Australia because he said the dealer made a mistake. it was in Australian money, over $43 million in that currency. And I think we're about one for two, so that's over $20 million. He just wouldn't pay. And I asked Aaron if he could find out, because this case went to a Singaporean court. I don't blame the casino for taking it, to the court, how it turned out. And to my surprise, oh my goodness, I have a phone call from Aaron. Also, some good news, not great news. I mean, Australia, a lot of people suffered, people died. The animals, of course, were really, really hurt as well in the bush. And Aaron talks about that, but his family has been spared any real damage. It's just that the air is very difficult to breathe now in Queensland. But here's a phone call from Australia. Aaron, the narrator of and producer of Crap's Journey.
Hi, Coach Fav. It's Aaron here from Australia. Just wanted to reach out to you from your episode number 79. You sent me some well wishes. The Australian bushfires have been very, very bad. I live in Queensland, which is north of New South Wales and Victoria, where the bushfires are. Queensland had our bushfires back in October. Last year in 2019. So then it's gone to New South Wales and Victoria. So they're suffering from it now. They've had it a lot worse than what we had. I also caught mention about where you wanted to know about Dr. Wong Yu Choi from down at Star Gold Coast. Well, I put my international correspondent hat on and I thought I'd do a little bit digging. And sure enough, I found out some information that will pretty much close the book on this particular story. Fantastic story. Glad that you you mentioned it. Essentially, he was brought over from Singapore to Australia to star Gold Coast play. He's a high roller. He was playing baccarat. He was betting $500,000 hands. I'll give you some links to put in your show notes of the stories that I found. But in summary, he was betting 500,000 hands. He racked up 43.2 million Australian, which is 29.5 million US. And essentially what was happening was the dealer would deal, he wanted to squeeze the cards. And for those who don't know, it's where they where the player can slowly reveal the card, tear it up if they want, and essentially he wanted to do that. But the dealer dealt the cards to him face up, and that enraged him to the point where he refused to play anymore. And the casino host, whoever it was at the time who was the host, I'm sure they would have got fired over this incident, as would have the dealer. But essentially the host had given him written confirmation that the errors would not continue, and that they made a verbal agreement with him that all losses to date would be squared away and basically forgiven if the dealer continued to make any further mistakes. So they let him continue betting, and sure enough, the dealer dealt him cards face up again where he wasn't able to squeeze the cards. And he packed up and went home. Star Gold Coast then proceeded to take him to court, which went to the court in Singapore. And surprisingly, the Singaporean law is that the Singapore law does not enforce the recovery of money that was won from gambling other than in the specific cases outlined by laws like in the Casino Control Act, which is there, which is only in Singapore. It's the Marina Bay Sands and the Resorts World Sentosa. So only those two casinos. If the losses had have been occurred there, they would have been able to sue and get their money back. So effectively, the court threw the case out. He didn't have to pay them back, and thus ends the fairy tale. I think even he was seeking restitution for expenses. So that would have been probably 20,000 Australian in expenses for that legal proceedings. I'm amazed at the whole story, but I'm sure the casino host didn't get to keep their job. I'm sure the dealer certainly got fired. I just can't believe that a dealer would deal face up on a hand that had $500,000 riding on it. You'd think they'd have a competent dealer. Honestly, amazing. Thus ends the story of that. So thanks for getting me to do that. It was entertaining to go and investigate for you. Anyway, wish you all the best and look forward to speaking to you soon. Bye.
Well, thank you, Aaron, for your good work. And I apologize, your currency is a little stronger than I realized. So it's almost $30 million American, $43, $42 million Australian. I just can't believe it. This guy is a lucky dude, I'll tell you. My goodness, he doesn't have to pay. But I know if I try to stiff a casino in Las Vegas, I'm going to have to pay and then some. But let's talk about our own good fortune here at Casinos USA with Janie's success at the Meadows in Washington, Pennsylvania.
Hi, everybody. It's Jane. Since we hadn't been to a casino since October before Coach Fav's surgery, I was excited to go to the Meadows this time. I was also excited to go because every time there's a change in ownership, some items change. You know, machines change, or placement of the machines, or different restaurants, so they change food courts. So not having been there for over a year at the Meadows, we hadn't been there since Penn National took it over, and we were pleasantly surprised at how smoothly everything went as far as getting the reservation, checking in. Actually, they even called us and asked us if we wanted an early check-in. That's unusual. We haven't, and for free, a complimentary one. So we took advantage of it, and we got there early. And when you go that early to a casino, it's like having 2 days there. So I was walking around looking for the old poker, video poker machines that we always like to play. We played those, and we played those with friends of ours before. Now, to my disappointment, they weren't there. Whether they'll ever come back or other poker machines will take their place, I don't know. They have many, many new machines there at the Meadows. So I decided, well, all right, I know Coach Fav's playing crap, so I'm going to just walk around and look at the machine. So they had the Hex machine that I like, the old Friday the 13th type, if any of you are familiar with the Hex machine. I've always liked that one. And so I sat down at one that they had there, and I did pretty well on it. And then, but there were so many other ones, I thought, I'm going to take a walk around. So I took a walk around, and I came across a machine that has the name Relic in it. It has a gorilla in it. And when you roll when the screen rolls, he comes out every once in a while. When you get everything lined up together, whether it's two rows or three rows that are all alike. And the more rows you get that are alike, the more wilds he gives you, and you win more. So I played that for probably almost 2 hours and never lost. It was amazing. I put money in once and then just kept going for over 2 hours. And then I thought, well, I don't want to, run out of luck here, so I'm going to walk around some more. So I went clear to the other end of the casino. And the Meadows is pretty large, and found my favorite Honeycomb machine and thought, oh, okay, they had four of them there, two on one side, two on the other side. Just sat down on the N one, and I think three spins into that, I hit $100 just like that. I mean, it was just amazing, and so I sat there for another 2 hours. So I can tell you, I was very lucky, I had amazing fun there. And as I was winning there, I'm looking around at a lot of the other machines and figured I'd try them later or maybe even the next day. Well, then I saw that where Coach Fav was playing poker, I saw him leave, and then I thought, well, I'm going to catch up with him because it's about time, we get something to eat. So we got together, we went to their brand new food court, and they built a bar right in the center of it, which is unusual. I haven't seen one just like that, where it's a beautiful bar, brand new, big TVs. And there, unfortunately, and I guess it's because it's in the food court, there's no food or snacks on the bar, but the food court is all around it. So you can take your food into the bar area. There's booths there, or you can take it even into the bar and eat there. And most of the food vendors are newer. There's an Italian one. It's just called, I think, the Italian place. And there's an Asian one. There's a sweet shop. I can't remember everything.
I was surprised they actually used the term eatery, like the one in Las Vegas. I don't think they're connected, but they use that term for their food court.
Well, the term in Las Vegas is eatily.
Eatily, that's right.
Right, it's not eatery. Okay, let's get that straight.
Yeah, you got me straightened out.
And it's the eatily is at the Park MGM. Yeah, right. But it's close. You're close. But the one thing about the Meadows with their food court and also in their buffet area, there's walls of windows, so you can look out and see any racing that might be going on at the time. You're facing the racetrack.
Horse racing.
To say, and we also took advantage of the pool, which is one of our favorite spots there and one of our favorite pools, because you can walk right out the door from the pool and there's a huge fire pit there, which connects to another bar that's in the hotel, which I don't know that we mentioned before, but there's a walkway from the hotel. It's a Hyatt hotel that connects to the parking garage of the casino. On the fourth floor, it connects, and you can walk over. But and the, it's a very nice Hyatt there. But again, they and they have a bar called Parlay in the lobby, off the lobby area of the hotel, and then that connects with this big fire pit area, and then that connects to the pool, which we've taken indoor. Advantage of them. Indoor. Yeah, it's an indoor pool, and it's very warm. The water's very warm. The room is warm, and we really enjoyed it. And we're usually, and I've said this before, the only ones in the pool. So we were the only ones in there. We were in there at about 7:30 or 8 o'clock, but we both had luck, you know, we both won. So we were happy about that, and we will definitely be going back.
Yeah, and to kind of summarize it, you know, we had said that we'd be there, and we had five people show up, and we all won. I think it was, we figured the lowest amount won at the craps table was $300, and we went up over $900, and a nice group of guys and their podcast listeners of Casinos USA. So that was another treat, and that turned out to be successful too. Well, we're back again to that point in the show where we have to say that we seek life, liberty, and happiness, and Casinos USA is a special place where every day is
Saturday.
Thanks for listening. See you in a couple weeks. So it was a great success, successful trip. And, you know, Janie had, we had the pool, the Hyatt pool, which is heated, as she said, and the fire pits and the parlay bar, beautiful. And we had five listeners come down and play craps with us. And that went incredibly well. We went from a $300 winner to over a $900 winner. I was stuck in the middle, but that was fine at around $525. So it was good. And Janie beat me with her winning on craps. So as she said, we'll definitely be going back. So at Casinos USA, it's life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And it's a very special place where every day is Saturday. See you in a couple weeks. Thanks for listening. So as you could hear, Janie had a great time, and I had a great time. And again, the beautiful indoor pool, heated pool, the fire pits, the parlay bar at the Hyatt, and a group of five friends. I didn't know them before this podcast, but came down to play craps with us, and we had great success. We went from 300 to 900, so that was nice. And Janie won more money in her slots than I won in craps, so it was a good day for Casinos USA. Casinos USA, of course, is a special place, and we pursue life, liberty, and happiness, and it's a place where every day is Saturday. See you in a couple weeks. Thanks for listening.